Well, a pleasant evening to each of you. Delighted we have this opportunity to study the Word of God tonight. Appreciate so much the sermon Brother Guy delivered this morning. What an outstanding job. Appreciate so much. You've been blessed to have Brother Guy for so many years proclaiming the gospel. He does such an outstanding job, and we're thankful for him, his love for the truth, and him and Sister Ann stand for that which is right. If you have your Bible tonight, if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter. And when you come to the Gospel of Matthew and the 27th chapter, begin reading with me at verse 38. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priest, also mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. When you take your Bible, turn back with me for just a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look if you will at verse 2, where the Apostle Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." You know, one thing that I believe that we need to keep in our mind is the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to think of the different ways we can keep the cross fresh in our mind. And I'm not ashamed to go back and preach on the cross time and time again. In fact, the business, I've wondered if in my preaching I've preached on it as much as I should, because Paul said that is the theme of the message, the central theme, the cross, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. But this evening, I want us to stop for just a moment and listen. And what I want to do for just a few moments of our time is to listen to the sounds of the cross. And what I want to do is to put in my mind and in your mind the thought of some of the sounds that surrounded the day Jesus was crucified. And I just tried to imagine what it would have been like to have been there to see and to hear what occurred on that day. And so for a few moments, just let us listen carefully to some of the sounds that occurred on the day Jesus was crucified. First, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of John and the 19th chapter. And you'll remember that in the book of John and the 19th chapter, they had brought Jesus to Pilate, and Pilate, trying to have Jesus crucified, had him taken and scourged. I want you to look at that statement very carefully in verse 1. Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Now, it was not Pilate who did the scourging. I'm sure it was the Roman soldiers. Pilate was probably one who gave the permission to have Jesus scourged. But I want you to think about the sound of that whip, that cat of nine tails, slicing into the skin of the Son of God. Can you imagine that sound of that whip as they cracked the cat of nine tails in the air and then brought it down upon the body of the Son of God? And can you imagine the blood that flowed and the back? What did it look like when that cat of nine tails came down upon the flesh of Jesus the Christ? And I thought of that scourge whipping through the air, then coming down upon the skin and hearing the skin slap and tear. And that puts in my mind a certain fear. It makes my heart tremble to think of how they treated Jesus the Christ. And to hear that cat of nine tails being whipped through the air and coming down upon the body of the Holy One, the Christ. But then I want you to think about in John 19, look at verses 2 and 3. And notice where the soldiers mocked him. I want you to think about, here is Jesus. They put the crown of thorns on his head. They mock him. They bow before him. And they say, "Hail, King of the Jews." I want you to notice, my friend, on that day, here were people who mocked the Son of God. But then I want you to think of something else. When Jesus goes back to Pilate, Pilate, in the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter, wants to deliver him. But notice the people will not have it. Look at verse 24. When Pilate saw he could not prevail at all, but rather that atonement was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And notice, my friend, he released Barabbas and had Jesus scourged and delivered him to be crucified. I want you to think of the verdict of Pilate. Though Pilate could not find fault with Jesus, though Pilate said, "I've not seen one thing wrong he's done," though Pilate time and time again tried to get Jesus released, listen to the verdict of Pilate. Pilate said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to wash my hands of the matter." But Pilate could not wash his hands. He was guilty in that he delivered up the innocent Lamb of God to be crucified. But notice the sound of the voice of the Jews at that time, when they said, "His blood be upon us and our children." They said, "Crucify." Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been there and to hear a mob wanting the death of the Christ? Can you imagine hearing that whole town of Jerusalem, when there were so many people out there at Pilate's governor's hall, and they're yelling out, "Crucify him, crucify him." I would tell you, my friend, that would have shook the whole city to have people yelling out to crucify Jesus the Christ. But then go back to Matthew 27. And notice when they have him upon the cross, how they belittled him again. And notice the temptation they put before him. "If you are the Son of God, come down." What does that sound like? Sounds exactly like what the devil does in Matthew 4 when Jesus was out in the wilderness. "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, jump off the temple. The Lord won't let you strike your foot against a stone. If you are the Son of God." He continuously said, "Prove it to us." And that's exactly what they did to Jesus on the cross. "If you are, come down. You saved others. Why don't you save yourself? Prove it. Then we'll believe you." I tell you what, had he come down, I doubt they'd have believed him anyway. He raised Lazarus from the dead and they didn't believe him. And I want you to take note, my friend, Jesus had to endure the mocking while he was on the cross. But then notice, my friend, something else. Can you imagine the sobs of the women near the cross? There stood his mother. And can you imagine the people that were there who wept, who loved him? You remember in your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the second chapter, Simeon was talking about Jesus. And if my memory serves me correctly, it's down about verse 35. But if not, just read that entire section. And you'll remember that that time Simeon said, "A sword will come to your soul because of this one." Talking about Jesus. When did that occur? When she looked up and saw her son upon the cross. Can you imagine that a lot of people are yelling and mocking, but there are some people that day who are sobbing. Just listen to the sounds of the cross. But then think about something else. Have you ever thought about the nails being driven into his hands and feet? Has that sound ever occurred to you when they took that hammer and they started to put the spikes into his hands and feet? How that must have rung out, even over the crowd's laughter, even over the people's mockery. That when the soldiers took that hammer and began to drive the spikes and tear through the tendons until it went into the wood and the blood comes forth, here were the people mocking, and yet that hammer continued to drive the spikes through. Have you ever listened to the sounds of the cross? I want to take that and I want you to think of one other thing. Have you ever stopped and listened to the words of Jesus from the cross? Have you ever thought of what Jesus had to say? Sometime we'll do a series on the seven sayings, but I just want you to think about where Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And when he looked out and he said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." And then at the end, when he yelled out, "It is finished," it said he let out a large, loud cry. I'll tell you, my friend, that shows how God was, how Jesus was. Most men, when they died on the cross, would not have the strength to yell. But Jesus didn't die as a man. He gave up his spirit to the Father and died as a God, because he said, "No man takes my life. I lay it down." He yielded the spirit back to the Father. Look in John 10. How then? I want to raise four questions for us in the lesson, Jews. Do you hear the sounds of the cross? When was the last time you just allowed that event go through your mind and you listened to the things like we should? And the sounds of the cross should echo through our ears. And do we hear and see what Jesus did for us? Every time I think about how they treated Jesus, how they mocked him, how they belittled him, how they mistreated him, and then I stop and I think about how can I turn my back on the one who loved me so much that he allowed individuals to do this. He could have put a stop to it at any moment, and yet he fulfilled the will of the Father. But that brings up something else. Don't harden your heart. Open your Bible back to the Hebrew letter for a moment and the 10th chapter. And I want to tell you, I realize this has been a rough year on all of us. And there have been a lot of issues, and we've had a lot of heartache, and there have been a lot of grief. And I'm sorry that I don't know everybody like I should, but I've wept with some of you, and I've prayed for you, and I understand that there are a lot of people going through a lot of things. But I'll tell you what I'm fearful of is that in these days, we got some we need to be sure we're checking on spiritually, lest they turn their back on God. Look in Hebrews 10:26. If we sin willfully, now look at that word willfully, that means willfully, doing it on purpose, you choose to do it. That you've churned, look at that. After we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Now underscore the word sacrifice. You know what the Hebrew writer's saying? If you turn your back on Jesus, there's no other sacrifice to take away your sin. There's nothing else that will redeem you. There's nothing else on this face of the earth that can take away your sin except for Jesus. He's the only sacrifice. So if you go back into the world and you turn your back on Jesus, you've turned your back on the only one who can bring salvation. But then if you take your Bible, look at something else. Think about the drops of blood. And listen to them puddle at the foot of the cross, where Jesus is shedding his blood to redeem the Lamb as the Lamb to redeem us. And to remember that we don't deserve that, as Brother Guy brought out. What does he say in Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is death. That's what you deserve. But the gift, a gift is not what you deserve. It's something freely given. The gift of God is eternal life. You ever thought about a gift? Sometimes I don't think we receive a gift as graciously as we should. I remember one time Robert Jackson and I were shopping, and there was a shirt I wanted, but I didn't quite have enough. And he said, "Let's go back in. I'll get it for you." And I said, "Oh," I said, "Brother Robert, that make me feel bad." He said, "Son, somebody wants to do something nice for you. It should make you feel good." I thought, that's right. Sometimes what we ought to do is just be gracious when somebody wants to do something. But we need to be gracious that God would want to save us. And I have to be willing to receive what God has offered me. Now I have to do it on His terms. I have to be baptized. But I want to tell you, my friend, we should feel good that God loved us enough He'd send His Son. One last thing. What would you hear through eternity? And we talked about the horrors of hell a few nights or Sundays ago, and about the weeping and gnashing of teeth and the screams of horror. But maybe you'd hear the sound of a hammer coming down because you knew you had an opportunity to make your life right, and you never did. Now in heaven, they're going to hear the song of redemption. Read Revelation 4, 5, and 6 sometime and read about the song of the Lamb that is repeated time and time again. And to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And tonight I'll tell you something. If you're not right with God, I pray that you cannot get the sound of that hammer driving the nails through Jesus' hands out of your mind. I hope tonight that when you try to go to sleep and you pillow your head, the only thing you hear is that hammer coming down. Because I want to tell you, my friend, the reason he's there is because of my sins and your sins. And I pray that you would come to the one who bled and died for you. And if we're not putting him first, may that hammer echo through our heart. And may it touch it. Oh, I would I had the ability to put into your heart the sounds of the cross. Some of us need to re-examine our heart to make sure we're right with God. May you hear the hammer until you do. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.